The rights of the people are only surrendered when the people will allow it to happen. And they are counting on people to surrender those rights. You don't have to surrender those. You can make a difference. You know, if I can make any impact, everybody listening to this can make an impact.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. We have a returning guest, a very special guest, one of the smartest people I've ever had the privilege of meeting. And we were just talking before going live, and he's going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not. And that's good. That's what we're interested in here. We want to know the truth, and we want everybody to know the truth. That's why we do what we do. And so Dr. Fleming, for those of you who didn't see the many programs we've done with him before, he's MD, he's a PhD, he's a JD. I mean, he's got like as many degrees as you could ever possibly imagine someone having. He's also got a new book out. It's called Is COVID-19 a Bioweapon? A Scientific and Forensic Investigation. And it just so happens to be number one on Amazon in respiratory diseases. So we've been talking for 2 years now about respiratory diseases. Here's the man who's got the number one bestseller in respiratory diseases. Dr. Fleming, thank you for being with us and answer the question for us. Is COVID-19 a bioweapon?
Oh, well, that's what you're supposed to read through the book and make your own decision right. about that. I mean, okay. The book is designed to walk through all the information. Well, not all the information, but a lot of the information that we have about where the money came from to pay for gain of function research, what the published papers are that really show how several people like Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric and Xu Zhengli interacted and worked over a couple of decades to actually develop a number of coronaviruses that are not naturally occurring, which would be a violation of the Biological Weapons Convention Treaty. And then to, you know, there's other universities in the U.S. that are associated with this type of research, whether it's in the state of Texas or Iowa or you name it. Way too much research done to manipulate viruses that really expose human beings to a great threat. And there's patents that are the techniques that these people used. It's really kind of interesting. If you follow Ralph Baric, he had a huge fascination with something called transmissible gastroenteritis virus, or TGV, to begin with.
Can you stop for a moment, Dr. Fleming? Who is Ralph yes. Baric? Tell the audience, because I think a lot of people aren't familiar with that name.
Oh. My apologies. So Ralph Baric is a professor at the University of North Carolina who received a tremendous amount of funding from the federal government, including Dr. Fauci, both directly from Dr. Fauci and NIH and NIAID, as well as monies that got circumvented around through Peter Daszak at EcoHealth in North Carolina. And then between Daszak and Ralph Baric and Xu Zhengli at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, they have spent decades manipulating viruses to make these viruses more infective and to also cause them to shut down our immune system.
Wow. And so let's go back to the role that he played, the federal funding that was there. And why is he such a central character in this question of whether COVID is a bioweapon?
Well, they're all central because, you know, they've all been connected and working together for decades. So this isn't something that just kind of happened with one experiment or one set of money going out. This is these are people that have been working together with the Gates Foundation, with the Department of Defense, with the Rockefeller Group, all the people that are also connected with our universities that are putting in big money and have massive control over our universities, which is where we're supposed to train people to be scientists, along with other things, but from my perspective, you know, scientists, so that we're supposed to go out there and actually do the right thing. But, you know, the problem with science is that there's a lot of people who like to use science in nefarious ways. And that's why you have to wonder how the federal government, Department of Defense, have made more than half the contributions financially and provided advisors to Peter Daszak at EcoHealth, who then paid Ralph Baric and Xu Zhengli to play with these viruses. And in many ways, they've been very blatant and honest about what they've been doing. But I don't think that they ever expected in their wildest nightmares that somebody community would say, well, you know, you guys patting yourself on the back for doing this, but the outcome has been devastating. And, you know, what you did is not what human beings should do. So when research scientists step beyond that moral and ethical bounds that we have on what we are supposed to work on, that you kind of sit there and have that moment that you say, you know, maybe this is not a good idea. Yeah, I might want to know about it, but there's real potential harm and it could get out of my control. You know, that's a critical factor when there's the lack of recognition that you could have a problem with something you're working on. That's when you're not a very good scientist at that point in time. You're just kind of playing Jurassic Park.
So at least there's a plausible case that could be made that it may have been, you know, an accident. Maybe they were playing with these things, and maybe, you know, everybody's been talking since the claim came out. Maybe it escaped from the laboratory, and you think that's at least a possibility?
No, I don't anymore. You know, that would have been a possibility 15 years ago. That would have been a possibility 12 years ago. But there's all sorts of data that shows that SARS-CoV-1 was actually a bioweapon that was developed, and this is an upgrade of it. And Dr. Anthony Fauci has only used the phrase SARS-CoV-1 once in his life, and I've used that multiple times. I don't know if anybody else is doing it. And the only time I heard him say that was when Senator Dr. Rand Paul was deposing him. Were you supposed to tell the truth? And he actually said SARS-CoV-1. And I thought, okay, you're not acknowledging that you're hearing what I'm saying, but you just used a phrase that I've not heard anybody else but myself use. So, you know, it doesn't mean he has, but it's certainly an implication.
Fascinating. And so one of the things that you're involved in, and we've talked to you a little bit about what you were going to do in previous interviews, but is trying to get some accountability for some of this. And I understand you guys have a case at the International Criminal Court, the ICC, and that some survivors of a Nazi concentration camp have now come out and joined this effort. Would you tell us what's going on with that?
Right. So the International Criminal Court is the ultimate criminal court on the planet. And as you know, the United States signed but didn't ratify that, but a lot of other countries did. And what the United Kingdom and the Czech Republic and Slovakia and France have done is they have filed for a joint. And Dr. Kevin McCarron out of Japan and Dr. Luc Montagnier out of France and myself submitted affidavits. Sworn affidavits of information that we have. And then the book is COVID-19, a bioweapon, was submitted as evidence to the judges. And then, you know, the court has been very quiet on it. It's kicked out a lot of other cases, but it's been very, very quiet about this particular case and what it's doing. And let's see, Thursday of last week, I believe a group of Nazi concentration camp survivors actually submitted a letter of support of the joint case that they hand walked over to the International Criminal Court. Now, these are people that were actually in Nazi concentration camps as prisoners of war, and they find what's happening now more reproachable than what happened under Hitler and Nazi Germany. And it's important to note that there were people who wanted to sign this document that are so afraid of reprisals that they did not, including one person who is a personal friend of Anne Frank. Now, that tells you what we are dealing with on planet Earth. So anybody who thinks that this is a game or that there is not some serious consequences going on here, when you have Nazi prisoner of war camp survivors hesitant to sign something, and they know Anne Frank and everything she went through because they are afraid of reprisals, it will tell you the courage that these three people had to have to sign their name on the dotted line and insist upon this. And so this is to put more emphasis for people to become aware that this is moving forward. And we have other people that we are now working with that should the ICC falter for whatever reason, that these other individuals that are working around the world, attorneys that are working at international law, are already placing the foundations for an international tribunal to be placed into effect should the ICC falter. So this is not a game. It's not something that is outside of the control of Americans. I mean, just because the United States did not ratify this does not mean that the people that I included in my statement, including Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and Collins and a number of others, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be held accountable, because just because they're hiding inside the confines of the United States doesn't mean that's always going to be a safe hold for them.
Interesting. And so you think that the ICC could, at least in theory, take on these Americans, even though the United States has not ratified this? They could take down Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and people like this. What would that look like? I mean, would they just have to hide in the United States for the rest of their lives, never be able to step foot in another country? Or how would that work?
Right. They would literally have to just be stuck in the United States. There's their vaccine passport. and they would have to worry about whether somebody would come get them, quite frankly, because I know people that are upset enough. You know, look, the people that fled Nazi Germany fled to other countries and hid, and the Jewish community hunted them down and they went after them. Well, I don't think that this is any different a scenario. I mean, it's worse, because the numbers of people that are involved, you know, there's a lot of people that don't get actively involved until it touches you personally. Well, I'm not sure how much more touching personally we have to have going on than what's happened for the last, it's almost now 22 months, because we're coming up on October. 22 months has affected the world. So everybody has been touched by this in one way or another.
So what's the basis of the complaint that was submitted to the ICC? Are there specific criminal statutes that were violated, and what are those statutes?
Right. These are actually the same statutes that were violated for Nuremberg 1, for Nazi Germany. These are crimes against humanity with a variety of pieces of evidence laid out. And bear in mind that even those specific names are laid out in the complaints. For people in all of these different countries, the reality is the fun begins when interrogatories and investigations begin, because once somebody's name up in those investigations, they are now part of what can be investigated themselves. So just because somebody's not included in the initial names doesn't mean that they're going to get out of this any more than the doctors and the judges did from Nuremberg one, if you will, because the first trial that everybody knows about, the Nuremberg trial, was the first of a dozen. And after that, the doctor's trial came, and then the jurist trials, which are the judges and the attorneys. So the people that have made all these changes in laws and edicts and executive orders that have tried to circumvent the rules of humanity, just because they've done that, once this type of trial begins, those people are going to be brought to accountability. And I would argue that Senator Dr. Rand Paul and the other senators that are our elected officials in this country should immediately call for the indictment and prosecution of anybody who has perjured themselves on this gain-of-function bioweapon, and to hold these people accountable. And I would also argue that since the U.S. Constitution states that any treaty that is signed is the law of the land, signed and ratified is the law of the land, and the Biological Weapons Convention Treaty, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and a number of other treaties were signed and ratified in this country, that anybody who's taken an oath to uphold and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States has violated that oath if they do anything to circumvent informed consent on these drug vaccine biologics. And so anybody who has given a mandate or an edict, might as well use the correct terms for what these things are, executive order or not, these are edicts, being given usurping power that is not theirs to take, these individuals should be held criminally accountable under the violation of their oath to the Constitution for the offices that they've taken. And under the U.S. Constitution, a violation of that oath is treason.
Wow. And so what can people watching us right now do, Dr. Fleming? I mean, most of them are not going to be in positions of authority. You know, you may have some members of Congress or their staffs or some state legislators, but what can people, normal people who are concerned about this, who realize we've been lied to, who realize that, you know, our rights are being stripped away on false pretenses, what can normal people do about this? I mean, we can't file cases, but should we call our congressmen? Should we, you know, do a protest? What do normal people do?
Yeah, well, normal people take their rights and protest and gather and sign the documents. And we're going to be putting the documents together to encourage people to support the letter put together by the Nazi concentration camp survivors. And we will send that off to the International Criminal Court as well. But the elected officials are, you know, this is a country, this is a republic. It's a country of the people, and the people determine what happens. So the people who elect individuals need to let these elected officials know that this is a privilege to serve, that, you know, they're not the country, they're not the government, it's the people, and put pressure on their elected officials and say, I want this investigated in the United States. It's going to be embarrassing as blazes if the International Criminal Court is the one that takes this out. But I want to put a quote that somebody I saw posted the other day by Samuel Adams for people who think that this requires a majority. Samuel Adams said, it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather a tireless, irate minority keen to set brush fires in the people's minds. That's what everybody can do. Anybody who thinks that they don't have a role or they're only one person, this begins always with one person. A movement, a change is always one person. I don't know who that person is, but I do know that we're trying to make a difference in that. And the support of people in whatever way they do, whether they protest, whether they tell their elected officials to take action on this, whether they go to their media and comment on this, whether they simply state, you know, what type of country do we live in when the president of the United States states that the unvaccinated individuals are a threat to the country, when the drug vaccine biologics, if you follow them, have put pressure selection on this virus to produce the Delta variant and the Mu variant. This is nothing more than the result of the vaccines and the vaccine chasing. The rights of the people are only surrendered when the people will allow it to happen, and they are counting on people to surrender those rights. You don't have to surrender those. You can make a difference. You know, if I can make any impact, everybody listening to this can make an impact. I mean, there's nothing special about me that makes me any different than anybody else, except that I'm sitting up and taking action, and everybody can take action together. You know, we can have, as Adams put it, an irate minority that causes brush fires in the minds of men. You know, what is it? The Hunger Games. Hope is the hardest thing to extinguish, right? And that's what people have, is hope. That's the reason why I put the information out there, is to share the knowledge with people so that they have it. Because, you know, as we talked about before the program, I'm not bothered by people being upset with me because I won't toe the line and support people who want you to take one drug when they haven't proven that the drugs actually work, because I'm not going to allow anybody to get by with that, and I'm not going to, you know, it's not about me. It's about the science. It's about the reality of the medical and science that goes behind it. It's about the Constitution. It's about the International Criminal Court. It's about the fact that people can get together, can coalesce. You know, we're no longer completely locked down, and I say that we need to avoid allowing them these atrocities. You know, remember, the first people that Hitler locked up were the intellectuals. Take us out of the scenario so that we don't talk to you. Take the people that will, like yourself, who's broadcasting the information so that people know about it, and you can manipulate the people. The time to be manipulated is over and done.
Excellent. Well, before we let you go, Dr. Fleming, please tell us, how do we get the book? What's the best website to follow you? Do you think there's a role for state prosecutors here, for state attorneys general? Is that something that have state laws been violated that could be tackled? And how do people get your information? How do people find more?
I think state attorney generals and the courts in the states, the state courts, the federal courts, and the international courts are all a part of this. As far as the book is concerned, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or Borders or any of those sites. You can go online and find it. FlemingMethod.com is the website. So there's a lot of material on there. You don't pay for any of it. I'm not in this to make a penny. You know, we're way past the point that this is about money. There's enough people that have been making money over the harm that's been caused to Americans, and it's time to actually take action for Americans.
Absolutely. Folks, that was Dr. Richard Fleming. The book is COVID-19 a Bioweapon, a Scientific and Forensic Investigation. And I encourage you to go check out his website. I encourage you to get the book. Dr. Fleming, thank you once again for being with us and for sharing your insight. Hopefully we'll have you back again very soon. Folks, again, is COVID-19 a bioweapon, a scientific and forensic investigation? Thanks for watching. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. And until next time, God bless you all.